ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we'll begin the 17th chapter of the first canto, Punishment and Reward of Kali. So in the 16th and 17th chapter, Suta Goswami is describing the activities of Parikshit Maharaj, and then in the last two chapters, 18th and 19th, we'll talk about the events which led to the disappearance of Parikshit Maharaj, curse of Parikshit Maharaj by Sringi, and then how he sat to fast until death on the bank of the Ganges. So first verse, Suta Uvacha Tatra Gomitunam Raja Hanyamanam Anatavat Dandahastam cha vrishalam dadrishe nripalanchanam. So the last chapter ended with Parikshit Maharaj arriving at the place where the bull and the cow were having the conversation. The description, it is described that like when Parikshit Maharaj arrived, he saw that how the Shudra, who was dressed like a king, he was beating this bull and the cow. So Parikshit Maharaj sees that scene, and then he begins to chastise Kali. And before he goes to kill Kali, he will ask from Dharma personified, who was in the form of a bull, about who is actually responsible for their condition. And this is, there's a conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and the Dharma and the Dharma personified. Then finally, then after inquiring from Dharma personified about who is the cause for their condition, then Dharma personified will actually reply to the question of Parikshit Maharaj. Then after hearing that reply, then although Dharma personified will not identify Kali as the cause of their condition, but Parikshit Maharaj will go to punish Kali. And when Parikshit Maharaj is about to kill Kali, that time actually Kali will surrender to Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj will tell Kali that you cannot actually stay in my kingdom. Since you have surrendered unto me, I will not kill you, but there is no place for you to stay in my kingdom. Then Kali will actually plead to Parikshit Maharaj that you have to give me some place for me to reside. Then Parikshit Maharaj will give four places where the four regulative principles are broken. And then on further request of Kali, Parikshit Maharaj will give the fifth place where there is a stock of gold. And in this way this chapter ends. And then at the end, it is described that how Parikshit Maharaj, after giving Kali these places, then Parikshit Maharaj restored the principles of religion. And then Suta Goswami concludes the chapter by saying that because of the rule of Parikshit Maharaj, you are able to actually perform sacrifices for 1,000 years. In this way, he will glorify Parikshit Maharaj and end this chapter. So here, Parikshit Maharaj reaches that place where Kali was actually torturing bull and the cow. So Vrisha, it is described here, Vrishalam Nripalanchanam. So in the first three verses, Prabhupada describes about the three symptoms of Kali. The three symptoms of Kali are, the first symptom which Prabhupada explains is that in the Kali Yuga, low class people who are on the level of Shudras, they actually take up the dress of an administrator or a Kshatriya, and they will act like a kshatriya, but although they are actually on the level of a shudra. This is the first symptom of Kali Yuga. Prabhupada says that lower class shudras will be dressed like administrators or kings. This is the principal sign of Kali Yuga. And the second and third symptom of Kali Yuga is that with regards to the condition of bull and the condition of cow. So the second symptom is that bull, which represents the principles of religion, the bull will be tortured in the Kali Yuga. The third symptom is that cow will also be tortured in Kali Yuga. These are the three symptoms of Kali Yuga. Basically, the low class people are dressed as kings, and the condition of bull and condition of cow. So these three symptoms are mentioned in the first three purports of Prabhupada. So the principal business of such low class men is to kill innocent animals, especially cows and bulls, who shall be protected by their masters, the bona fide Vaishyas. So Vaishyas are actually supposed to protect the cows and bulls, but in Kali Yuga, Vaishyas, instead of doing their duties, they only send the cows and bulls to the slaughterhouses. And the Shudras, in the dress of a Kshatriya, they will actually punish the bulls and cows. Next verse. Vrisham mrinala davalam mehantam iva bibhyatam vepamanam padaikena sidantam shudra taditam. So especially when you hear about this Shudra being dressed like a king, like when there is a criminal, if he is actually in the dress of a criminal, then it is easy to actually identify the criminal. Suppose if there is a terrorist, suppose if he belongs to a particular terrorist organization, if he is wearing a shirt which contains the slogans of that organization, and if he is actually carrying the weapon, then it is easy to identify that he is actually a terrorist, he belongs to this organization. But suppose if the terrorist is actually in the dress of a normal person, normal civilian, then it is more difficult to identify that this person is actually a terrorist. But the most dangerous condition is that when the terrorist is actually in the dress of a police or in the dress of a person who is actually meant to give protection to common people, and that is the most dangerous condition, because people naturally put trust on the administrators. But if that administrator turns out to be terrorist, then he can actually cause great havoc. So here the Shudra, he is actually in the dress of a Kshatriya, and then he is actually torturing the bull and the cow. Like even in the Krishna Leela, we have that example of Pralambasur. Pralambasur is a demon, but he came in the form of a cowherd boy. So therefore, here Parikshit Maharaj, he did not get carried away by the dress of this person, but he saw the action of this person. So therefore, he immediately became angry and he wanted to actually punish Kali. So the second verse describes that the bull was as white as the white lotus flower. But when the Shudra was actually torturing the bull was actually trembling, and the bull was actually urinating. The sense that bull was standing on one leg and trembling and urinating. So Vishnu Chakotaku says that the bull standing on one leg was at every moment flowing away. It is a metaphor to express a perishing condition, and trembling of the bull indicated that the bull did not create an opposition to the actions of Kali. Next verse, which, the third verse describes the description of the cow, which was also being tortured by Shudra. Gam cha dharma du gam dinam brisham Shudra padakatam vivatsam ashru vadanam kshamam yavasam ichyatam. So here it is described, Gamcha Dharma Dugam. So the cow is the, one can draw religious principles from the cow. Dharma Dugam means cow actually gives milk, and milk is the liquid form of religion. So Prabhupada says that milking cows means drawing religious principles in a liquid form. And for a Sanatanist, it is a duty of a householder to have cows and bulls as household paraphernalia, not only for drinking milk, but also for deriving religious principles. And then he explains that great sages would actually live simply by drinking little bit of milk every day. And Shukadeva Goswami, when he would actually go to different householders' houses, every householder will have a cow and they would just give little milk. And by that, actually, they would sustain their lives. And it's also explained, and this cow was actually without a calf. So in Kali Yuga, the calves are separated from the cows for purposes which cannot be mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the milkman milks cow artificially, and when there is no milk, cow is sent to the slaughterhouses. So, if we, like His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining in a class, that many times when Srila Prabhupada would actually go to some farm communities, when he would actually see a tractor being used in a farm, and he would feel, he would be very sad, because that he would say that if you are using the tractor, that means there is no service for the bull. The bull is actually losing its service to the Lord. So, like, one tractor may be able, may actually perform the work of maybe hundreds or thousands of men. But then, by that, we are actually creating unemployment for so many bulls, and we are creating unemployment for so many men. So, especially Prabhupada would be unhappy because the bulls will be losing their service to Krishna. So, especially when we talk about cow protection or bull protection of the bulls, it does not mean simply actually protecting them on the physical platform, but it actually means that we have to give them a feeling that they are needed. We have to give them a feeling that they are needed. That means, like, we have to actually engage them in the service of the Lord. Engaging the bulls means like engaging the bulls in the plowing and for carrying different things, and engaging the cows. So we have to, when we give them a feeling that you are needed, when you give engagement to them, that means real protection of the cows and the bulls. This principle not only applies, this is actually a very general principle. This applies not only with respect to cow protection, even with respect to when we actually engage people. Like in one meeting, Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining, like when we are actually engaging people in different services, we should not give them the feeling that, oh, I am doing a favor upon you by engaging you in this service. We should not give that kind of feeling to the person. But on the other hand, we should actually give them the feeling that without you, this service will not go on. Means like we should give them a feeling that they are needed in this service. that they are actually considered important to perform this service. This is actually a principle, like with respect to engaging people, like even like this principle is adopted even by a demoniac leader. Like for example, in the first chapter of the Gita, when Duryodhan says that like apariyaptam tadasmakam balam bhishma birakshitam pariyaptam tridamaitesham balam bhima birakshitam, like says that our army is protect is immeasurable because it is protected by Bhishma. So when he says that, then immediately in the next verse he says ayaneshu cha sarveshu yatha bhagam avasthita bhishmam eva bi rakshantu bhavanta sarva evahi. So he is telling that our army is immeasurable because it is protected by Bhishma. But he felt, but all the other soldiers in my army, they might feel, oh, actually Bhishma is the main person who is going to protect the Kaurava army. So we are will not be of any use. So Duryodhan felt that maybe others may be feeling like that. So in order to give them, in order that others don't feel like that, so Duryodhan is speaking in the next verse, Bhishmam evabhi rakshantu bhavanta sarva evaki. No, you are also needed. You have to actually give protection to Bhishma by protecting him from all directions. You all have to be situated in proper place, and you should make sure that Bhishma is protected. It means like he is also giving a feeling to other people that they are also needed. So that is actually this principle is adopted even by a demoniac leader. So cow protection or bull protection means basically giving them the feeling that they are actually needed. So that's why Prabhupada would be actually very much unhappy when you would see tractors. Another point, Maharaj was explaining, was saying that people use the modern machines in order to get quick results. We may get quick results, but what happens in the due course is that over a period of time, the earth actually loses its nourishment. All the essential minerals and whatever things are necessary for actually long-term production of the grains, that is actually lost. So when we look for some immediate result instead of following the organic process, but after some time, we will stop producing all the grains. On the other hand, when we use the natural process in the form of using bulls for actually plowing the land, so Maharaj is explaining from his experience in New Vrindavan, then from the long term point of view, earth will produce much more, being pleased with the people who are actually using bulls in an organic manner. So the third verse describes the condition of the cow. So in the third verse it said, so here Prabhupada says here, calf gives satisfaction to the cow, so cow delivers as much as milk as possible. So the organic process or the natural process of milking a cow is that you bring a calf in front of the cow, and then the cow feeling happy towards the calf, and the cow actually gives enough sufficient quantity of milk. But in Kali Yuga, the calf is actually separated from the cow, and then using machines they actually milk their cow. And when the cow no longer produces milk, and they actually send the cow to the slaughterhouse. In the fifth canto, the same analogy is used by Sukadeva Goswami in another connection. The fifth canto, when Sukadeva Goswami describes the descendants of Maharaj Priyavrat. So one of the king in the dynasty of Maharaj Priyavrat is called as Maharaj Gaya. So when he describes the qualities of Maharaj Gaya, Sukadeva Goswami says that Maharaj Gaya had such wonderful qualities that Mother Earth being pleased by the qualities of Maharaj Gaya, produced all the necessities in a profuse quantity. So, Shukadeva Goswami gives an analogy. He says that the qualities of Maharaj Gaya are compared to a calf, and Mother Earth is compared to a cow. Just like a cow, by seeing the calf, produces sufficient quantity of milk, so similarly, Mother Earth, by seeing the wonderful qualities of Maharaj Gaya, produced all the necessities abundantly. So when Parikshit Maharaj sees the condition of the bull and the cow, when he sees that they're being tortured by the Kali, he actually questions Kali. From verse number 4 to 6, in 3 verses, Parikshit Maharaj chastises and questions Kali. So the 4th verse describes that how Parikshit Maharaj spoke in a deep voice like a thunder.
Papracharatam aruda kartasva parichadam mega gambira yavacha samaropita karmukaha.
So here Prabhupada says that an administrative king with full majestic authority, well equipped with weapons, to chastise miscreants, can challenge the agents of Kali Yuga. So then he mentions the dress or style of royal order does not count. It is one's actions which are actually counted. So, there are people who may be actually dressed as a like a royal king or as an administrator, but they do not actually administer punishment to the criminals. The main thing is like not the dress, but it is one's actions which are counted. So the next verse, Parikshit Maharaj asks Kali about his identity.
Kastvam macharane loke baladamsya balan bali naradevosi veshena natavat karmana dvijaha.
So here Prabhupada says that the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas are called twice born because there is one birth by parental conjugation and there is another birth of cultural rejuvenation by the spiritual initiation from the spiritual master. So here Parikshit Maharaj is saying naradevosi veshena natavat karmana advijaha. Naradevosi veshena, that means you are in the dress of a Naradeva, the king, but you are acting like a but by your actions natavat karmana advijaha, but by your actions you are a advija. You are dvija is twice born, advija means you are not twice born, you are only once born. And kastvam macharane loke baladams abalan bali. You are attacking the weak, like abalan, with force in the world under my. You attack the weak with force in the world under my protection. So Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur writes in the form of a dialogue in his commentary. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking Kali, who are you to commit violence in my presence? So Kali says, I am actually the king. So Parikshit Maharaj says, since I am the king, how can you be the king? So Kali says, I am the king because I am actually having the dress of a king and I am acting like a king. So therefore I am the king. So then Parikshit Maharaj says, no, you are actually, you are not a king by your actions, you are a shudra by your actions. Because if somebody is a real actor, he will actually imitate the actions of the person, actions of the role which he is actually playing. But you are actually in the dress of a king, but you are not performing the actions of a king. So therefore, you are not a king, you are actually a shudra. Next verse.
Yastvam krishne gate duram saha gandiva danvana shochos ashochyan rahasi praharan vadam arhasi.
So here again, Vishnu Chakravarti gives a dialogue in the form of dialogue form. So Kali tells in response, continuing from the previous dialogue. So Kali says, just as you are the king of your country, I am the king of this time. Because this time is actually Kali Yuga. So I am the king of this time. So therefore, you do not have power over me. Then Parikshit Maharaj tells in response, before Krishna departed out of sight with Arjuna, where were you? When Krishna departed out of sight, that time where were you? If you are actually the king of this particular time, when Krishna departed out of sight from Arjuna, that time you were not present. That time it did not appear that you were actually the king of this time. So Kali says in response, in fact, I was present even at that time. But I did not have power at that time because of fear of Krishna and Arjuna. I was present even at that time, but I did not have power at that time. But I have fear of no one today. So therefore, I am actually, I am the king of this time now. So now Parikshit Maharaj says, actually, you are in a pitiable condition. You are actually desiring to die today in my hands. This is Parikshit Maharaj is chastising. So here again, Prabhupada writes here, in reference to this point, Krishne gate duram saha gandiva danvana. When God is conspicuously banished from a civilization, and when there is no devotee warrior, then the agents of Kali Yuga takes charge, and the agents of Kali Yuga take charge and kill innocent animals. And for a pious king, a culprit who kills an innocent animal in a secluded place is punishable by death penalty, like a murderer who kills an innocent child in a secluded place. So killing an innocent child in a secluded place, especially killing a child, because child is in a helpless situation. So killing a child in a secluded place is actually very, very like a very topmost crime, in the sense like, especially like when we talk about abortion. Like abortion, it's a very grievous crime because you are trying to kill a living entity who is not in a position to actually defend himself. So therefore it is actually a grievous crime. So similarly, the same way, killing a child in a secluded place, it is a very dangerous crime. Here it is explained that when a person is trying to kill an animal in a secluded place, it is actually as equal to that, such a grievous crime as a person who is trying to kill a child in a secluded place. So now, see, these three verses, 4 to 6 verses, he actually spoke to Kali. Now from the 7th verse, 7th till the 20th verse, sorry, 7th till the 16th verse, Parikshit Maharaj speaks to the bull and the cow who are standing there. So before actually, although Parikshit Maharaj threatened Kali, Prabhupada writes in one of the later purports, he says that Parikshit Maharaj wants to get a evidence from the bull and the cow about the person who is responsible for torturing them. So he wants to actually hear from their mouth before actually punishing Kali. So therefore, Parishit Maharaj, in these verses, he will be actually pacifying the bull and the cow, and he will be asking that as to who is actually responsible for your state. So that is the essential mood of Parishit Maharaj in these verses. So seventh verse. Tvamva mrinala davala padair nyunapadacharan vrisharupena kimkaschit devo na parikedayan. So by seeing the bull, especially by seeing the color of the bull, Parishit Maharaj is wondering, are you a demigod in the form of a bull? Huh. Are you some demigod causing us grief in the form of a bull? Huh. So Parishit Maharaj says that I have not seen such thinness and suffering even in my dreams. You are so thin and you are so much suffering. I have never seen such suffering even in my dreams. And then the next verse, Parishit Maharaj says, Parishit Maharaj speaks with little pride by saying that actually for the first time in my kingdom, somebody is shedding tears and those tears are falling on my kingdom. Previously, nobody was suffering in my kingdom and nobody had actually shed tears in my kingdom. So in this way, Parishit Maharaj is speaking the next verse with little pride. Najatu kaura vendranam dordanda parirambite bhutale anupatantyasmin vinate praninam shuchaha. So, Dordanda Parirambite means, Parishit Maharaj is saying, in my kingdom, which is protected by the arms of punishment, nobody has actually shed tears before. For the first time, somebody is shedding tears. So, Parishit Maharaj was completely astonished to see this in his kingdom. And so, Prabhupada says in the purport, like in many of the purports, he tells this, brings out this point that the first duty of the government is to give equal protection to humans and the animals. And in another purport he mentions, in the case of the animals, a king should give protection to both the domestic animals and the animals in the forest. One should give protection to both, like that he mentioned. So he says, nature of a pure-hearted soul is that one cannot see organized animal killing. And Parishit Maharaj is lamenting for the tears in the eyes of the bull. Next verse. In the ninth verse, he is addressing specifically the cow. Ma saurabe yatra shucho vyetu te vrishalad bayam ma rodir amba badram te kalana mayi shastari. So here in this verse, he is actually consoling the bull and the cow, saying that as long as I am here as the punisher of the sinners, ma rodir amba badramte, you don't have to cry. As long as I am here, you will have good fortune. So I will kill this particular person right now. So in this way, he is actually consoling the bull and the cow. So Prabhupada writes here that Parishit Maharaj is addressing the cow as the mother. So Saurabheya, that means, O son of Surabhi. Actually, he is addressing the bull only here. Saurabhaya means, oh, son of Surabhi. So he's addressing the bull. So here Prabhupada says here, men are made after the forms and features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And similarly, cows are made after the forms and features of Surabhi cows. The Surabhi cows are actually present in the spiritual world. Just like a human being is made after the image of the Supreme Lord, the cows in this world, they are actually made after the forms and features of the Surabhi cows, which are present in the spiritual world. So by protecting the cows, the Supreme Lord will be pleased with a particular person. So now in the 10th and 11th verse, so now from 10th to 13th verse, Parishit Maharaj will give different reasons as to why he wants to punish the Kali personified. So the 10th and 11th verse, he gives one reason. And the 12th verse, he gives the second reason. And the 13th verse, he gives the third reason for why he wants to punish the Kali personified. And then 14th verse, he gives the fourth reason for punishing Kali. And the 16th verse, he gives the fifth reason. So the first reason he gives in the 10th and 11th verse. So when Parishit Maharaj is saying that as long as I am present as a punisher of sinners, you don't have to grieve. So when Parishit Maharaj says this, cow and the bull, they tell in reply to Parishit Maharaj, but if you kill this particular person because of us, then we will become implicated in killing. Because you are going to kill him because of us, then we will become implicated in killing. So therefore, do not actually kill him. So cow and bull are actually saying this to Parishit Maharaj. In response to this particular statement of cow and bull, so Parishit Maharaj is speaking the 10th and 11th verse. Yasya rashre praja sarvas trasyante sadhya sadubihi tasya mattasya nashyanti kirtir ayur bhagogatihi yesha ragyam parodharmo yartanam arti nigraha atayenam vadishyami bhutad druhamasattamam. So bull and the cow, they said that if you punish him because of us, we will become implicated in sin. We will become implicated in killing, so therefore do not kill him. So Parishit Maharaj, he tells, actually, I want to kill him for my own benefit. It is not because of your request I want to kill him. I want to kill him for my own benefit. So why he wants to kill him for his own benefit? So he says, Yasya Rashtre Praja Sarvas. Yasya Rashtre means like in whose kingdom Praja Sarvas Trasyante Sadvi Asadubihi. So what in essence Parishit Maharaj is saying, suppose in a particular person's kingdom, if the innocent people, like the cows and bulls, if they are being tortured by some Shudras, and if the king does not punish that Shudra, then as a result of not punishing the Shudra, then that king will actually lose his lifespan, and he will lose his reputation, and he will lose his prosperity, and he will not get a better destination even in the next life. So Parishit Maharaj says, because if I do not punish this person, I will lose this lifespan, reputation, and prosperity, and my better destination in the next life. So therefore, I want to kill him. And he says, Yesha Ragyam Paro Dharmu. This is the highest duty of a king. What is the highest duty? Artanam Arti Nigraha. To punish those who cause suffering to others. So therefore, Atayenam Vadishyami Bhuta Druham Asattamam. So therefore, I will kill that sinful killer. So here, he is giving the first reason why he wants to know who is, why he wants to actually punish Kali personified. That because if he does not punish, then he will lose his reputation, lifespan, etc. So here Prabhupada says in this purport, that's what. Praja means all kinds of living beings. It includes men and animals. And it in animals, it includes both jungle animals and also domestic animals. So another point which Prabhupada says, as the wild animal is killed when it creates disturbances, similarly, any man who unnecessarily kills or terrifies the jungle animals or other animals must be punished at once. And the law of God is that one should live only by eating specific living beings. So here the word, in this verse, like the word which is comes is like tasya mattasya nashyanti. Many times you see the word pramattasya, mattasya, it comes. Mattasya means, because warning of the word pramatta means one who is mad. But it also means, mattasya means one who is inattentive. Inattentive. So what Parishit Maharaj is saying, an inattentive ruler who allows innocent people to be tortured by sinful people will lose his reputation, lifespan, prosperity, etc. So that's why Prabhupada says that a king must be always alert to safety of both men and animals and inquire whether a particular living being is harassed at any place by another living being. So here, another beautiful point which Prabhupada says here. Because here it is explained that a king will lose Kirtir, Yasho, Kirtir, Ayur, Bago and Gati. Gati means like his progress in the next life, that will also be hampered by allowing this crime to happen. But then Prabhupada raises the point that sometimes there are certain modern leaders, they say that I don't believe in the next life itself. So there is, I don't worry about the next life because I don't believe in next life. So Prabhupada says that he quotes a statement of a modern politician. The name is not mentioned. So one modern politician, he says, I do not believe in any such ceremonies, and to submit to them even as a matter of form would be hypocrisy and an attempt to delude ourselves and others. I have no religious sentiments in this matter. So there are modern politicians, they don't want to like, they don't believe in some religious ceremonies, they don't believe in like Shraddha, they don't believe in like religious rituals, which are meant to give a better destination for a person in the next life. So such foolish men do not even believe in next life. So next verse, Parishit Maharaj gives the second reason for why he wants to punish Kali. Ko vrishcha tava padam strin saurabeya chatushpada mabhuvam stadrisha rashre ragyam krishnanu vartinam. So here, the second reason which Parishit Maharaj is saying is that I want to punish the person who is tormenting both of you in order to maintain the reputation of Krishna, or in order to maintain the good name of Krishna. So because the word which is used is that Rashtre Ragyam Krishna Anuvartinam. So there should never be such a condition in a state ruled by kings following Krishna. So I am known as a king who is actually following in the footsteps of Krishna. And if I allow this thing, if I allow such criminal activities to happen in my country, then it will actually spoil the name of Krishna. So therefore, he wants to, in order to maintain the good name of Krishna, he wants to punish. Next verse.
Akyahi vrishabhadram va sadunam akritagasam atma vairupya kartaram partanam kirti dushanam.
So the third reason he mentions is that I want to actually punish the criminal who is actually punishing both of you in order to maintain the reputation of the Pandavas. Because he is also he's the grandson of the Pandavas, so therefore he wants to actually maintain the reputation of the Pandavas. So the word akritagasam, that means akritagasam means offenseless. So he is telling Bull, you are actually innocent and of pure character. You are sadhu naam akritagasam. So here Prabhupada says, why actually bull and cow are considered to be offenseless living being? He says, bull and cow are symbols of most offenseless living beings because even the stool and urine of a bull and a cow are utilized to benefit human society. So therefore, they are considered to be the most offenseless living entity. So sometimes we wonder, like, why emphasize only on cow protection? Sometimes some mundane philanthropists, they ask, why you are not emphasizing about other things? Of course, from a spiritual point of view, the reason is that because cows are dear to Krishna, in order to please Krishna, we actually protect the cows. But even if you don't see from the spiritual point of view, even if you see from the material point of view, is there any animal whose actually stool and urine actually is useful? So in the case of a cow and a bull, even the stool and the urine, they are actually used to benefit the human society. So therefore, they are considered to be the most offenseless. So even from material point of view, we see the importance is given to cow protection, bull protection. And another point which Prabhupada says, he talks about the difference between pious king and an impious king. He says the descendants of the sons of Pritha were afraid of losing their reputations, but in the modern days, the leaders are not even afraid of killing such offenseless animals. The pious kings, they are actually afraid of losing their good reputation. But the modern leaders, they are not even afraid of killing such offenseless animals. In regards to this word, Parthanam Kirti Dushanam. So therefore, basically, Parishit Maharaj is asking bull and cow, who is actually responsible for your killing, for your condition? Who is the person who disfigured you by cutting off your legs? So in the 14th verse, he tells the fourth reason as to why he wants to punish the miscreant.
Jane anagas agam yunjan sarvatosya chamadbayam sadunam badram evasyat asadu damane krite.
Whoever causes offenseless living beings to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere in the world. By curbing dishonest miscreants, one automatically benefits the offenseless.
So here the fourth reason he gives is that by punishing the sinful people, the innocent people will be peaceful. The innocent will be peaceful. Otherwise, if the criminal is not punished, So those people, those who are innocent, those who are following the rules and regulation, they cannot actually live peacefully, because they know that the king is not doing the duty, and any time they can be actually tortured by some criminal people. So in order to actually maintain the peace, in order to give peace to the innocent people, Parishad Maharaj wants to punish the sinful. So again, Prabhupada says, the miscreants flourish because of cowardly and impotent kings. Next verse. In the next verse, Parishad Maharaj says, I am ready to punish the criminal even if the criminal is a very powerful devata. That means, like, we can see his determination to actually punish the criminal. Even if he is a very powerful person like a devata, still I want to punish him. Anagash iha bhuteshu ya agaskrin nirankushah ahartasmi bhujam sakshat amartyasyapi sangadam. So when Parishad Maharaj spoke the last verse, the cow and bull, they are asking, what happens, suppose, if the criminal is stronger than you? Will you be able to punish him? So Parishad Maharaj says in response in this verse, even if the person is a devata, amartyasya api sangadam. Api means, like, even if he is a amartya, it's like amartya refers to a devata who is actually immortal. Even if the person is a devata, I will actually cut off the arms at the root with the arm bands. Actually, there is no person among men and devatas who is as strong as me. So, again, Prabhupada here writes that state executive head must be as strong as Parishad Maharaj, so that he may be determined to punish the strongest offenders. The principle is that the offender of the courts of God is always punished. So compared to human being, so of course Prabhupada writes in the first paragraph of the purport, he talks about the lifespan of a demigod and lifespan of a human being, how the demigods have a long lifespan. So we see, like, even in the fourth canto, in the story of Anga Maharaj and Vena, you'll see later. So there is one verse which is actually related to this particular incident, especially related to this particular verse. So when you know the story that when Vena, who was actually the king of who is the son of Anga Maharaj. So although Anga Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord, Vena was like a rogue. So after Anga Maharaj left the kingdom, the Brahmanas appointed Vena as the king, because the thieves were actually flourishing in the kingdom, and in order to curb the thieves, there has to be a king, so they appointed Vena as the king. But then what happened? Because Vena was such a cruel king, the thieves and rogues, they became subdued, but then he himself torturing the people, he stopped all the performance of sacrifices, he himself started torturing the Brahmanas. So then the Brahmanas, they actually come to advise King Vena. So there is a series of, I think, 10 verses or something, which they advise King Vena. So first they advise, and then they see that when Vena actually still does not listen to the advice, then the actually Brahmanas actually kill King Vena by chanting the mantra. So in one of the verses in which they give advice to the Vena, so those verses in which they advise King Vena is that they talk about the duties of a king. So one of the verses, they talk about the duty of a king. In that they mention, a king should actually protect the citizens not only from the rogues and thieves, but a king should actually protect the citizens from the corrupt ministers of his own kingdom. So We see that like many times, like even in the modern this one, it is a greater challenge, like a prime minister or a, like in a kingdom or a country. Like one thing is to actually protect the citizens from the terrorists. But it's a greater challenge is to actually protect the citizens from the corrupt ministers in his own ministry. Because like the relationship is there, and then like he is at the favor of the other person. So that is actually a greater challenge. So especially in that purport, Prabhupada actually highlights that point two, three times, that how a king should not compromise. Even if one of the ministers is actually corrupt, he should actually give punishment to the corrupt minister. So if you see, so in the case of Krishna, Krishna in the Vrindavan Leela in the 10th canto, he not only protected the Vrajavasis from demons like Putana, Pralambasur, Shakatasur, they are all demons sent by Kamsa, but Krishna also protected Vrajavasis from people from his own administration like Indra. So Indra is like a minister from his own like administration. So that is the duty of a king. A king will punish a criminal even if that person is a very powerful administrator in his own kingdom, or even if the person is actually a powerful devata. So Parishit Maharaj is saying, even if that person is a criminal, is actually a very powerful devata, still actually I will not compromise in actually in punishing him, even if he is a devata. So next verse. So in this verse, Parishit Maharaj is giving the fifth reason why he wants to actually punish the criminal. Ragyo hi paramo dharma swadharma stanu palanam shasato nyanyata shastram anapad utpatant iha. So here Parishit Maharaj is saying, it is not just for my reputation, to maintain my reputation or to maintain the reputation of Krishna or the Pandavas. It is actually the duty of a king. The supreme duty of a king is to actually give protection to all law-abiding persons. Is to give protection to all people who follow the scriptures, and to punish those people who do not follow the scriptures when there is no emergency. So Prabhupada talks about apat dharma. So in the case of emergency, sometimes a person is allowed to break certain rules. Like for example, Vishwamitra had to live on the flesh of dogs in some extraordinary dangerous position. When there was nothing available, so that time Vishwamitra had to eat some flesh of a dog or some meat. But that time, that is like apad dharma. That's why even the 7th canto, when Narada Muni talks about the duties of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, he also gives the duties in emergency situation. And an emergency situation, sometimes when a Kshatriya or a Vaishya may act like a Brahmana, may perform the duty of a Brahmana, or like that he mentions. So he says that, like for example, in that purport, Prabhupada talks about like when Prabhupada brought the Western disciples to India, so especially in the Vrindavan and certain areas, they actually criticized Srila Prabhupada for saying that how can you give initiation to some Malechas and Yavanas. So for this, actually criticism of the local Brahmanas, so different times like Prabhupada gave different arguments. One argument which Prabhupada gave was that he would quote this verse, Aho Bata Shvapachato Gariyan. Even if a dog eater is actually, if a person is born in a family of dog eaters, if he is actually, hearing or chanting and remembering the Supreme Lord, then that means like he is actually he is considered to have performed all the Vedic sacrifices, he is considered to have read all the Vedas. Ahobata Shopachato Gariyan Yajigvagre Vartate Namatubhyam Tepus Tapaste Juguva Sakshnurari. So you quote this verse, he says that, so that even if a person is born in low family but he is chanting the holy names of the Lord, he is actually considered to have actually performed all the Vedic sacrifices. He is immediately qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices. So, but another time Prabhupada gave another argument. So another argument he gave was that, he said that, especially in the 7th canto, Prabhupada quotes this argument. He says that sometimes in the case of emergency, when there are no brahmanas, when the brahmanas are not performing their duty of preaching the message of the Supreme Lord, then sometimes we may have to appoint people who are not in the level of the brahmanas, and we have to appoint them to actually preach the message of the Supreme Lord. So then he says, even the great authority like Narada Muni has approved this. Because Narada Muni tells in the 7th canto, in the case of emergency, sometimes a Kshatriya or Vaishya, they may perform the duty of a Brahmana. What the duty of a Brahmana is to actually to preach Krishna consciousness. So sometimes in the case of emergency, although a person may not be in the level of a Brahmana, but still he is actually allowed to perform the duty of a Brahmana. Then Prabhupada would say, because when we started the Krishna consciousness movement, no preaching was not going on. And because it was an emergency situation, because none of the Gaudiya Mutts preaching and practicing stopped, and nobody was preaching in the Western world. So Prabhupada said, so because it was an emergency situation, so therefore we had to give initiation to people who are actually not qualified, but we have to give initiation, we have to give sannyas initiation to them so that they can actually preach Krishna consciousness. So that means in an emergency situation, a person may break certain rules. A person may follow certain, may break the rules of the scriptures. So that is allowed. But when there is no emergency, if a person is not following the rules of the scripture, then the king is actually supposed to punish that person. So this is the topmost duty of a king. So Rajyam hi paramo dharma. So that's why Prabhupada writes that, talks about apadharma. So now when Parikshit Maharaj he is actually asking when Parikshit Maharaj asked the bull and the cow as to who is responsible for their condition, now actually dharma starts replying. The bull starts replying. Dharma uvacha yetadva pandaveyanam yuktam artabayam vachah yesham gunaganai krishna dautyadau bhagavan krutah. So now dharma is actually glorifying Parikshit Maharaj, that the words you have spoken, it definitely befits the person who comes in the dynasty of the Pandavas. So yuktam means it is definitely befitting. So even Krishna engaged in the service of the Pandavas, being pleased with the qualities of the Pandavas. Yesham guna ganai krishna dautya adav bhagavan krutaha. Dautya Adav means like Dautya and Adav. Dautya means Krishna engaged in playing dice and other activities in order to please the Pandavas, being pleased with their good qualities. Yesham Guna Ganai. So here Prabhupada writes a beautiful purport. So when we read the statements of Parikshit Maharaj, it may appear that Parikshit Maharaj was so proud that he wants to actually punish the Kali. Even if he is a devata, I want to punish. But here Prabhupada says that Parikshit Maharaj was not falsely proud, for a devotee is equally as powerful as Lord. For a devotee is equally as powerful as Lord or sometimes more powerful by his grace. And any promise made by a devotee, though it may be ordinarily difficult to fulfill, is properly executed by the grace of the Lord. And then he mentions, a devotee is always under the protection of the Lord, and therefore assurance of protection by Parishit Maharaj could never be without meaning. So like that. So now, having glorified Parishit Maharaj, so then Bull is actually telling about the cause of their suffering. In the 18th, 19th and the 20th verse, in three verses, they actually tell the cause of their suffering. The fifth reason was that Parishit Maharaj is saying it is the duty of a king to actually punish anybody who does not follow the injunction of the scripture. Yeah, it is the duty of a king to give protection to law-abiding citizens and to punish those people who do not follow the laws when there is no emergency. To protect those who follow the laws and to punish those who stray away from the laws. So now 17th to 20th verse, Dharma is actually answering as to who is responsible for the suffering. So these three verses are very important. Navayam klesha bijani yatasyu purusharshabha purusham tam vijani mo vakya beda vimohita. So here, the Bull is saying, actually, it is very difficult to ascertain as who is the cause of our suffering. The reason is that there are different philosophers, they tell different things as the cause of one's suffering. Because I am bewildered by the statements of different philosophers, so therefore, I do not know who is the cause of my suffering. It's actually very significant. We'll see this. Actually, right in the front, like many times, like in a court case and all, somebody is convicted as a criminal by circumstantial evidence. But here, like the Kali personified is actually caught red-handed, is directly in front of the bull and the cow, but still the bull is not saying that this person is the cause of suffering. He is saying that actually it is very difficult to ascertain the cause of suffering. So Vishnu Chakravarti writes, he writes in the form of a dialogue. So Bull is saying, I do not know the person from whom the seeds of suffering will arise. So Parishit Maharaj says, why do you conceal the person? I even see the person who is giving you suffering. I am able to see that this person is actually giving you suffering. So why are you actually concealing him? So Bull is saying, true, he is giving me suffering, but there should be a seed for the suffering. Because of which this person is actually giving me suffering. He is not the seed of suffering. There must be some other seed because of that he is actually giving me suffering. So, I do not know the person from whom the seed of suffering is arising. So, then Parishit Maharaj says, but you know scriptures. Why do you not know what is the seed of suffering? Then the Dharma is saying, true, I know scriptures, but in the scriptures, different philosophers, they tell different things as the seed of suffering. So because of that, I am bewildered as to what is actually the seed of suffering. So then, in the 19th and the 20th verse, Bull is telling, in the 19th verse, Bull is telling the opinions of four different philosophers. What they tell as the seed of suffering. And then in the 20th verse, The bull is telling the opinion of the Vaishnava philosophers as the seed of suffering. Who is responsible? So before that, I will just read the purport of the 18th verse. A beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, Parishit Maharaj wanted a statement of accusation against the direct mischief monger. That is why he asked all these questions to Dharma previously. But Dharma is actually declining to say that this Kali is responsible for suffering based on the following grounds. So Prabhupada says that devotees know well that without the sanction of the Lord, no one could inflict trouble upon them. So actually, according to Vaishnava philosophers, the ultimate cause of suffering is, ultimately Krishna is the cause of all causes. They know that, a devotee knows that without the sanction of the Lord, this person actually cannot give suffering to me. So therefore a devotee does not retaliate against the person. So that actually the answer is given in the 20th verse. But many times when you see Prabhupada writing a purport, Prabhupada actually writes a purport, he goes ahead of the verses. Because even in the Bhagavad Gita also, like, Krishna talks about the message of surrender, the 18th chapter, but Prabhupada talks about in the first chapter itself. So that is actually compassion of a Vaishnava. So Prabhupada says here, devotees know well that without the sanction of the Lord, no one could inflict trouble upon them. Even if the devotees see the mischief mongers, they do not accuse them for the sufferings inflicted. They take it for granted that mischief monger is made to act by some indirect cause, and therefore they tolerate the sufferings, thinking them to be God-given in small doses. For otherwise, the suffering should have been greater. Saint Prabhupada also quotes Jiva Goswami, and he says that speculative philosophers do not recognize the sanction of the Lord. They try to find out the cause of sufferings in their own way. And speculators are themselves bewildered, and thus they cannot know the ultimate cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of God. So basically now Dharma is telling that I do not know the cause of suffering because there are so many philosophers are telling different reasons of the cause of suffering. And the next verse, Dharma is telling the opinions of four different philosophers as what they tell as the cause of suffering. Kechid vikalpa vasana ahur atmana matmanaha daivam anye pare karma svabhavam apare prabhum. So there are one kind of philosophers, some philosophers say, Kechid Vikalpa Vasana. Vikalpa Vasana means some yogis who cover up the difference. So what do they say? Kechid Vikalpa Vasana Ahur Atmanam Atmanaha. So here the word Atma refers to actually the mind. So they say that mind is ultimately the cause of one's happiness and suffering. Just like Krishna says that Atmaiva Atmano Bandur Atmaiva Ripur Atmanaha. That mind is the best of friend, best of suffering, best of one's enemy. So here the first philosopher, they say that one's own self, it can refer to the mind or one's own self. So one's own self is the cause of suffering. And there are other people, they say, Daivam Anye. Here the word Daivam refers to actually the planets. They say that the planets are the cause of suffering. And Daivam Anye, Apare Karma. And there are third kind of people, they say, one's karma or one's karma is the cause of one's suffering. One's activity is the cause of suffering. And swabhavam apare prabhum. Other people say that it is actually the inherent property of matter which is the cause of suffering. So these are the four different opinions of different people. Some people say that one's own mind is the cause of suffering, and others say that the planets are the cause of suffering, and third kind of people say that the karma is the cause of one's own karma is the cause of suffering, and fourth is that the matter, the inherent property of the matter is the cause of suffering. So Prabhupada, in his purport, he gives actually five opinions. He says that according to Jaimini philosophers, Jaimini is actually a disciple of Vyasadeva, who is the author of the Karma Mimamsa philosophy. So according to them, the fruitive activity is the root cause. So even if there is a superior authority, if there is a god or a demigod, they are also under the influence of fruitive activity because they reward according to one's action. So some people say this, Jaimini and others, they say that fruitive activity is the root cause of one's suffering. Ultimately, even the demigods are bound to actually reward or punish based on one's own activity. And there are others who say that action is not independent, because action is actually performed by the performer. So therefore, the performer is the root cause of one's suffering. One's own self is the root cause of suffering. And there are the third kind of people, there are like Sankhyaites, the followers of Kapila. Not the Kapila Dev, the Supreme Lord, but there are another philosopher called Kapila. So they say that material nature is the cause of all causes. Material nature is the cause of suffering. So they say that combination of material elements, it is the cause of material happiness, and disintegration of the material elements is the cause of material distress. And the fourth opinion is the opinion of the Gautama and Kanada. So they say that atomic combination is the cause of everything. The combination of atoms is the cause of happiness and suffering. And the fifth philosopher which Prabhupada quotes in the purport is Ashtavakra. So there are people like Ashtavakra, they say that spiritual effulgence of Brahman is the cause of all causes. So these are all different opinions of different philosophers, they say, who say actually different things as the cause of suffering. So if we see, all these philosophers are, they are actually right in some extent, but they are not completely right. Because the ultimate cause is the Supreme Lord. So that is the opinion of the Vaishnavas that is explained in the next verse. So Vishnu Chakravarti says, he says in the purport that devatas cannot be the cause, since he says that those who believe in planets controlled by devatas say that planets are the cause, and Mimamsakas say that karma is the cause, and the Lokayatas say that swabhava or the inherent property of matter is the cause. So to put in actually in simple words, suppose the cause of suffering, so there are three causes of suffering. One is the immediate cause, the remote cause, and the ultimate cause. For simple example, suppose when somebody has got malaria, so the immediate cause of malaria is that mosquito bite. Mosquito has bitten, that is the immediate cause of malaria. So scientists say that cause of malaria is actually you have been bitten by a mosquito. So definitely it is right. But then they cannot explain that there are so many people present in the room, why the mosquito actually had bitten only that particular person. They cannot explain that. So therefore the remote cause of the suffering is that our own karma. The mosquito did not bite the other people only. It actually bit me because it is my own karma that I am actually destined to suffer. And so the opinion of the scientists or even these other philosophers, all whatever they say about the cause of suffering, it is mostly on the immediate platform or in the remote platform. They only address either immediate cause of suffering or they address the remote cause of suffering. So immediate cause of suffering of malaria is actually mosquito bite. With respect to different incidents, whatever suffering, it can be different things. But the remote cause of our suffering is actually our own karma. But the ultimate cause of suffering is that forgetfulness of Krishna. So why we perform karmic activities? Because when a person has forgotten Krishna, so therefore a person performs either pious karma or sinful karma. If a person knows his relationship with Krishna, he will be engaged only in the serving the Lord. So the ultimate cause of suffering is forgetfulness of Krishna. Or we can say the ultimate cause of suffering is the Supreme Lord, who is actually giving the result of our karma through the material nature. So all these philosophers, they either address the immediate cause or the remote cause, but they do not recognize ultimately Krishna is the cause of all causes. Who is actually the ultimate cause? Who is actually giving the... because all these... the four causes which are mentioned by different philosophers, all these four causes, they are not independent. They are actually dependent. But the ultimate cause, the real cause is Krishna, who is actually the independent of all these things. So when we actually deal with the suffering, the first thing we have to understand is that we have to accept that it is my own karma, so that is why I am suffering. So after accepting that it is because of my own karma I am suffering, then we deal on an immediate level. When you understand, okay, I am suffering from malaria, that means like, okay, it is my karma I am suffering. But that does not mean that we don't take a medicine. We deal at an immediate level. And then, so first we accept it is my own karma, and then we deal in an immediate level whatever is required. And then we also deal on the ultimate level by performing devotional service to Krishna. So when we try to, suppose when a person is actually mistreated by somebody, when a person is being exploited by others, so first we have to accept that it is my own karma. And then we actually do the needful and the practical on the practical level in such a way that we don't allow ourselves to be exploited by others. But without accepting that it is my own karma, if we try to actually deal on an immediate level, even if we try to win over the other person, we will not be happy, because since we have not accepted that it is my own karma, there will be a feeling of negativity in our heart. Therefore, the first thing is like we have to accept it is my own karma, and then we deal in an immediate level. And then we deal at an ultimate level by actually remembering Krishna, by performing devotional service to Krishna. So without accepting that I am the bad person, when we deal on an immediate level, even if we actually try to win over the other person, even if we try to defeat the other person, but because of maintaining the negativity in our heart, we will not be happy. So now in the 20th verse, Dharma is telling the opinion of the Vaishnava philosophers, who recognize that Krishna is the ultimate cause, who is actually responsible for whatever a person is getting. Apratarkyat anirdeshyat itikesh api nishchayah Atrana Rupam Rajarshe Vimrishasva Manishaya.
There are also some thinkers who believe that no one can ascertain the cause of distress by argumentation, nor know it by imagination, nor express it by words. No sage amongst kings, judge for yourself by thinking over all this with your own intelligence.
So here it is explained, Apratarkyat Anirdeshyat. So some people ascertain that the happiness and distress come from that which is beyond reason and argument. Apratarkyat. Apratarkyat means that which is beyond reason and argument. So who cannot be understood simply by reason and argument? It actually refers to the Supreme Absolute Truth, Supreme Lord. So there are some people, so the bull is not explicitly telling that Vaishnava's quote like that. They are saying there are some people who tell that the real cause of suffering is that which is actually beyond reason and perception. So anirdesh, apratarkyat, anirdeshyat. And O sage amongst king, Raja Rishi, so you only decide by your intelligence as to what is the who is the cause of suffering. So he is, in this verse, Bull is telling the fifth opinion of the Vaishnavas about who is the cause of suffering. The cause of suffering is that who is actually beyond, who cannot be understood by our logic and reasoning. I mean, the cause of suffering is ultimately the Supreme Lord. So Bull is telling that, and then he is telling to Parikshit Maharaj that Vimrishe, Raja Rishe Vimrisha Swamanishaya. Swamanishaya means with your intelligence, Swamanishaya. Vimrisha, you deliberate on it and then you come to the conclusion as to what is the cause of suffering. So Bull basically told the opinions of the five people, and then he is telling to Parikshit Maharaj, you only decide as to who is the cause of suffering. Just like Krishna also tells in the 18th chapter that Vimrishet Aseshena Etechasi Tatakuru. After speaking the whole Gita, he says that now you deliberate on what I have spoken and you decide like what you want to do. When Prahlad Maharaj in his teachings in the 7th canto, in his teaching to his classmates, after giving the whole teachings, he tells the classmates, now you deliberate on what I have spoken and then you decide whether you want to perform fruitive activities or whether you want to perform devotional service to the Lord. So we see that in general, any teacher, they do not force a person to accept the conclusion. They give the teachings and then they say that now you actually decide as to what is actually the what you want to do. So here Vishnu Chakravarti quotes this verse from first canto, ninth chapter, when Bhishma Dev met the Pandavas. When Bhishma Dev was lying on the battlefield, Bhishma Dev said that Nahiyasya Karhichit Rajan Pumam Veda Vidhisitam Yad Vijignyasaya Yukta Mukhyanti Kavayopihi. So, and actually, on seeing the suffering conditions of the Pandavas, how the Pandavas had to undergo so many sufferings, so Bhishma Dev said, actually, no one can understand the plan of Krishna. Even those engaged in reasoning and scripture are bewildered by that inquiry about what is the plan of Krishna. So Bhishma Dev also mentioned, ultimately, whatever suffering you underwent, it is ultimately Krishna is the Krishna desired that. Because Krishna wanted to glorify your character to the whole world. So therefore, Krishna gave sufferings upon you, sufferings to you. So that is the reason which Prabhupada writes in the purport. So one cannot actually understand why is actually Krishna doing this to us. But when a person has the faith that ultimately Krishna is giving this to us because for my own benefit. So that faith a devotee has. So here Prabhupada writes here in this purport that the argument of the atheist that one cannot be punished for one's misdeeds unless proved before a qualified justice is refuted herein, because we accept the perpetual witness and constant companion of the living being. So atheistic people say that people commit sinful activities, but then who is actually the witness? So therefore he cannot be punished because there is no witness for it, because they do not know that Krishna, the super soul, who is present as a witness in everyone's heart. And the devotees know this truth of Krishna as a super soul, so therefore they discharge their duties sincerely without being overly anxious for rewards. So the conclusion is that the suffering of the representative of religion and the representative of the earth as present before Parikshit Maharaj were planned to prove that Maharaj Parikshit was the ideal executive head, because he knew well how to give protection to cows and the brahmanas, the two pillars of spiritual advancement. So this actually, so Prabhupada says that Parikshit Maharaj has been put to test here. The ultimately the whole incident is arranged by the Supreme Lord so that the bull and the cow are actually undergoing the suffering in order to actually bring out the quality of Parikshit Maharaj, how he is actually uncompromising in giving, in punishing the criminals. So he knew how to actually protect the cows and the brahmanas. So that is the ultimate purpose which is being mentioned in the purport. So Vishnu Chakravarti writes in the purport that Krishna desires to, bull is telling, Krishna desires to increase remembrance of the Lord by increasing the miserable condition of developing devotees like me, the bull. And as well, he wants to announce the fame of the highest devotee like you by your punishing Kali. So what actually bull is telling is that actually the ultimate cause of our suffering is not this particular person. The ultimate cause of our suffering is actually the Supreme Lord. And why Supreme Lord is actually putting us in suffering? Because he wants to increase our remembrance of him. He wants to intensify our remembrance of him. Because we are actually, I am a developing devotee, I am a sadhaka. So Krishna wants me to intensely remember him. So therefore he is putting us in suffering. And another reason why he is actually giving us the suffering is that because he wants to actually announce the fame of a greatest devotee like you to the whole world. So therefore he is actually giving us the suffering. Prabhupada also writes in the purport, and Vishnu Chakravarti also writes. So Prabhupada says the conclusion is that the suffering of the representative of religion as present before Parikshit Maharaj was planned to prove that Maharaj Parikshit was the ideal executive head, because he knew well how to give protection to the cows. So the other point which Prabhupada does not write in the purport, other point is that bull is telling that Krishna wants to increase my remembrance of him. So Vishnu Chakravarti says, because in this verse, in the 20th verse, bull is using the word apratarkyat anirdeshyat iti keshu api nishchaya. Iti keshu api nishchaya. So he says, by using the word nishchaya at the end of the list of opinions, the final opinion should be taken as the correct conclusion according to the Vaishnavas. So that is the significance of the bull using the word nishchaya. He is telling that by using the word nishchaya, bull is indicating actually the final opinion of the Vaishnavas is the right opinion as the cause of suffering. You should take that opinion. And by using the word keshu among all of them, that by using that word also, bull is actually indicating the last opinion of the Vaishnavas is the right opinion as the who is actually the cause of suffering. So Vishnu Chakravarti writes in the purport that the cause of our suffering is not the Atma itself, because Atma is not independent, and the cause of the suffering is not the planets, because the planets are dependent on the movement of time. And the cause of the suffering is not one's karma, because the karma is insentient. And moreover, he says that swabhava is not the cause of one's suffering, because it is not an exclusive cause. So therefore, the Supreme Lord as the cause is the absolute cause. So basically, the conclusion of dharma is that ultimately when a Vaishnava is actually undergoing suffering, he knows that Krishna must have sanctioned this. That is why actually I am getting this suffering. So therefore he does not become angry with the instrument of his karma. So he understands it is my karma, that is why I am suffering. And that karma is actually ultimately administered by Krishna. In that sense, Krishna is the ultimate cause, who is administering his own karma through this particular person. So this actually, to accept the law of karma and not to blame the other person, nonsense, that is actually like it's a very difficult thing. Although we speak about it, but when there's a situation, when we encounter a particular situation, that time we naturally tend to blame others. Like Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj, he tells that although we may actually theoretically accept law of karma, but we actually secretly disbelieve the law of karma. Means like we theoretically accept, but in our own life we actually secretly disbelieve. So how do we know, especially how do we know that when we accept the law of karma, the result of accepting law of karma is that a person actually tolerates the suffering. The result of accepting law of karma means it actually leads to tolerance. So especially if we see the materialistic culture, it actually it makes a person, the culture is designed in such a way a person does not accept the law of karma. So that is why we see the reason why there is so much of divorces, so many problems, because they don't accept the law of karma. So because of that, they are not willing, one is not willing to tolerate the problems. But the Vedic culture, we'll see, especially there are many traditional people, they may not be, in one sense, they may not be like practicing Krishna consciousness, they may not be look like Hare Krishna devotees, but they may accept the law of karma just naturally. Especially if you talk, sometimes if you talk to your grandmothers or something like, I met one of my relative, he was telling how one person in the family is undergoing certain problem, somebody has put some black magic, etc. But then like that lady was naturally telling, but ultimately it is our own karma. She was a pious lady, but it may not be like a Hare Krishna devotee, but then they naturally accept the law of karma. So when we accept the law of karma, and then when you practice, and then practice Krishna consciousness along with it, then you can make a person, can make progress in one's Krishna consciousness. So here, so anybody has any questions at this point, or anybody wants to add? Yeah, planets are not the cause, because planets are also not independent, because planets are influenced by the movement of time. Atma can refer to, Atma refers to mind, or it refers to one's own self. Because one place he mentions as mind, and some place it is mentioned as self. And karma is not the cause, because karma is insentient. Insentient means it is dead, it is not conscious. But ultimately karma has to be administered by the Supreme Lord. Swabhava is not the cause. Vishnu Chakravarti says, because Swabhava is not an exclusive cause. It's not explaining more. Swabhava is not the cause, because since it is not an exclusive cause. So then he says, therefore, the Lord is the absolute cause, but the plan of the Lord is impossible for anyone to understand. Why the Lord is actually giving the suffering, that plan of the Lord will be impossible to understand. So for that he quotes the verse spoken by Bhishma De, Nahi asya karigichit rajan. So even once, I think this Prabhupada pastime is there, that there was one Mr. Banerjee or someone, he was actually coming for the satsang, and every day he would criticize Srila Prabhupada, And the devotees wanted to actually drive him out of the program. They wanted to actually chastise him. But Prabhupada would actually allow him to actually speak whatever he wanted to speak every day. And once the devotees came and asked Prabhupada, "So why are you actually allowing this person to actually speak like that?" So Prabhupada said, "If he is speaking like that, that means like Krishna must have allowed him. So therefore, why should I be actually angry with him? He must have the sanction of Krishna. So that is why Krishna is allowing him to do that." So Prabhupada was patiently actually hearing. So this... Now, like at that time, say especially about sannyas initiation and all, because there was nobody to actually preach. So Prabhupada gave sannyas initiation to so many people and told them, "You go and preach in this country and that country." Prabhupada gave that. So now it's like there's a proper sannyas committee. They see how a person is so many years in the movement. Even for Brahman initiation, Harinam initiation, there are actually so many guidelines are made. Sometimes in certain places for Brahman initiation, because of the requirement of the service, they may use it. But usually, it is not like the previous times. Like they see lot, there are a lot of criteria attached. So in the case of emergency, Prabhupada mentioned that sometimes a person is allowed to perform certain activity, which is not his natural duty. He has to perform some emergency situation. So Parishit Maharaj says that unless there is an emergency, if a person is actually breaking the rules, then it is a duty of a king to actually punish that person. Prabhupada has given, appointed this GBC, Prabhupada has given the books, and all these GBCs, they have actually, they come together, and then they actually, they bring out the rules, whatever is conducive for the progress, for the movement, based on the books of Srila Prabhupada, and based on the different words of Srila Prabhupada, based on his teachings and what is there in the books. Yes, based on his teachings in the form of his lectures, in the form of his books, based on that, like devotees are actually making the rules. Always Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. The previous Guru, the present spiritual master, the previous Sadhus and the Shastra, all are consulted. Yeah, it is mentioned that like for a non-devotee, Krishna comes as time, and for a devotee, Krishna comes in his time. So initially, Vishwadev mentions Sarvam Kala Kritam Mani. It is all by the moment of time you are getting there. But he is also Like in that sense, even Kala is also a feature of the Supreme Lord. So, in that sense, it also means that actually, it is ultimately the desire of the Lord because of that you are actually getting the sufferings. So, we can take it in that way also, because time is also a feature of the Supreme Lord. So it's because of Supreme Lord's sanction that's why you are getting. So even if we see the story of Gajendra also, I just want to mention this before we proceed. The Gajendra story also, when Gajendra was caught in the clutches of a crocodile, initially he tried to actually get out of the clutches of the crocodile by trying to fight with the crocodile. He thought that the cause of my suffering is a crocodile. So he actually tried to deal with the immediate cause. He tried to actually fight with the crocodile on an immediate level. And then when he understood that it's impossible for me to get out of it, so that time he actually contemplated, and then he understood, Vishnu Chakravarti writes in the purport, that actually the cause of my suffering is my own karma. Because of this crocodile is not the cause of my suffering, because of my own karma, I'm suffering. When he accepted that, then Gajendra got the intelligence. What was the intelligence he got? He got the intelligence to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So first he thought the immediate cause of his suffering is crocodile. Then he actually realized, actually the cause of my suffering is my own karma. He accepted the remote cause, it's my own karma. Then when he accepted that, then he got the intelligence that actually I must actually take shelter of the Supreme Lord. The ultimate cause is the Supreme Lord, so only he can actually, the forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord, then he took shelter of the Lord. So this replay of Dharma is very important, because he did not blame the Kali, although Kali is standing right in front of him. So now, what does actually Parishit Maharaj reply to Dharma, that is described in the next verses? एवं धर्मे प्रवदति स सम्राट द्विजसत्तम समाहितेन मनसा विकेद पर्यचष्टतम. नेक्स्ट वर्स राज उवाच धर्मं ब्रवीषि धर्मज्ञ धर्मोऽसि वृषरूपदृक् यद् अधर्मकृतस्थानं सूचकस्यापि तद्भवेत्. So, Prabhupada writes in the previous purport, unless one is perfectly conversant with the law of the Supreme Lord, one cannot speak such things touching philosophical truths. So, when Dharma was actually testing Parishit Maharaj, like it was a test to Parishit Maharaj, and then Parishit Maharaj, because he was also a saintly king, he passed the test perfectly. He could actually understand. So you must be, because you understand the finer intricacies of Dharma, you must be Dharma personified. So because you are speaking according to the principle that one should not identify the perpetrator, one should not identify the person who is causing suffering to us, our Prabhupada says that one should not blame the instrument of one's own karma. You are in the form of a bull. You know the truth of religion and you are speaking according to the principle that the destination intended for the perpetrator of religious acts is also intended for one who identifies the perpetrator. So therefore you are none other than the personality of religion. So in one sense, it's a simple point. In the sense, like when you actually blame the other person, when you find fault in the other person, then you get the fault. You spot it, and then you got it. So, Parshit Maharaj is saying, because you know this principle, that you are not actually spotting this person as a criminal, understanding that if you spot him, then you'll yourself get implicated in the karma. So therefore, since you understand the intricacies of karma, so therefore you must be dharma personified. So here Prabhupada says, the extraordinary behavior of the bull made the king conclude that the bull was personality of religion, for no one else could understand the final intricacy of religion. So next verse. Ataye atava deva mayaya nunam gatiragochara chetaso vachasaschapi bhutanam iti nishchayah. So here Prabhupada writes another beautiful purport. So Prabhupada writes, he raises a question in the purport. He says, why a devotee should refrain from identifying an actor, although he knows definitely that the Lord is the ultimate doer of everything? Then he gives the answer. The Lord is also not directly responsible, because everything is done by his deputed Maya Shakti. So material energy is always provoking doubts about supreme authority of the Lord. The personality of religion knew the supreme cause but refrained from mentioning the supreme cause. So why did he refrain from mentioning the supreme cause? He just mentioned, oh, these are the opinions of the five philosophers. Now you decide as the, what is the opinion. So why did he refrain from mentioning the supreme cause? Because personality of religion was put into doubts by Maya. How can the personality of religion can be put into doubts by Maya? Then he says, this doubtfulness was due to the contamination of both Kali and the illusory energy. So therefore the conclusion is that the whole atmosphere of Kali is magnified by deluding energy, and the proportion of measurement is inexplicable. So basically what Prabhupada is saying here is that because of the influence of Kali, Dharma did not explicitly mention that the supreme cause is Krishna. So, a doubt was created in the Dharma because of the influence of Kali. So the lesson for us is that if the whole atmosphere of Kali is magnified by deluding energy, and therefore the proportion of measurement is inexplicable. So when you are in the atmosphere of where Kali is very prominent, then it can actually create doubts in us also. Like I think in one class, going through us explaining that in the Mahabharata, forget that point. He mentioned the point that how Yudhishthira Maharaj was actually influenced by the atmosphere of gambling. So because of that, he made committed a mistake. I forget exactly what he did, but he mentioned that how a person is actually influenced by a particular wrong, and a person is in a wrong atmosphere, that atmosphere can actually influence him actually to commit some mistakes. So this is the point which Prabhupada says, that the doubtfulness was created by the Kali because of that Dharma could not explicitly mention the supreme cause, but refrained from mentioning the supreme cause. So next verse. 24th verse. Tapashaucham daya satyam iti pada krite krita adharmam satastrayo bhagna smaya sangama daistava.
Therefore, let us establish the
So now in the 24th and 25th verse, Parishit Maharaj tells that actually I know all your fortune and misfortune which you have not told me. So Dharma, Parishit Maharaj is actually telling that you are actually Dharma personified and you are actually Mother Earth. I know actually how you are fortunate before, and I know the reason for your unfortunate condition now. So he is saying that previously you are actually flourishing with Dharma in Satya Yuga. Now you are standing on one leg, because like the four elements, like three portions of religion are actually broken by Kali. So therefore you are standing on one leg. So then in the next verse he says, now in Kali Yuga, you are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness, and you are somehow or other hobbling along. But quarrel personified, flourishing by deceit, is trying to destroy even that one leg. He's actually understand that I know that you are actually Dharma personified. Previously you are flourishing with four legs, now you are just standing on one leg, but Kali is actually trying to destroy even that one leg. And then the 26th verse, Parishit Maharaj is telling, you can read the translation, 26th verse. So Parishit Maharaj, here he says, actually, this cow is actually non-different from Mother Earth. This cow is Earth. And the earlier Earth was overburdened by Asuric population, and that burden was actually reduced by the Supreme Lord. And she became most auspicious in all ways by the auspicious touch of his feet. And then he says, but with tears in her eyes, the chaste Earth filled with misfortune, being abandoned by the Lord, is lamenting that Shudras dressed as kings with no respect for Brahmanas will enjoy me. So in this way, in these verses, from the 24th to 27th verse, Parishit Maharaj, what is essentially telling is that, actually I know that you are actually Dharma personified, previously you are flourishing, I know that you are actually Mother Earth. Previously, you were overburdened by the demonic population, and Krishna came and actually relieved your burden. Now you are actually lamenting because Shudras dressed as kings with no respect for Brahmanas will actually may enjoy you, therefore you are lamenting. So now, so in this way he is trying to pacify Dharma and cow, and then he is telling that, and then he is actually taking up the his sword and he is about to kill actually Kali personified. So that is described in the 28th verse. Iti dharmam mahim chaiva santvayitva maharataha nishatam adade kadgam kalaye dharma heteve. So here we see, now one of the main lessons in this, the next series of verses is that, although Dharma and Kau, they did not point out Kali as the cause of their suffering. Being Vaishnavas, they just said ultimately it must be the sanction of the Supreme Lord, that is why we are suffering. But from the point of view of the Parishit Maharaj, so he did not accept, okay, ultimately Krishna is the cause of their suffering. Krishna is. So he did not keep quiet. He actually went to punish Kali. So Radhana Sai Maharaj is explaining in the class that how a devotee understands that Krishna is the cause of all causes, but at the same time he discriminates between right and wrong, and he takes practical actions whichever is required. So he mentioned there are three options. One option is that a person understands, oh, ultimately Krishna is the cause. Krishna is the doer. Adhishtanam tatha karta karanam cha prithak vidam. vividascha pritakteshta daivam chaivatra pancham. There are five factors of action. One may think ultimately Krishna is the ultimate doer. So then thinking like that, a person actually does not do anything in the practical level. That is one thing. But another extreme is that a person does not accept Krishna as a doer, but he just accepts himself as the doer. He is actually discriminating. He is managing everything minutely, but without having the understanding that ultimately Krishna is the doer. So when a person is not connected to the understanding, not connected to Krishna, when a person is not having that understanding Krishna is the doer, then although he may be doing so many things to manage on a practical level, because he is not connected to Krishna, ultimately he will not be able to do anything. So there are countries like America, they have like best of police forces, but they are disconnected from God. So then when they are disconnected from God, then they are like so much of like crimes are taking place. And there may be other countries, like there are some other people, they accept, oh, Krishna is the cause of all causes. But if they don't do on a practical level, if they become lazy, then that is actually another extreme. That is also wrong. So one has to discriminate, but at the same time, one has to accept that Krishna is the cause of all causes. Like for example, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was preaching to Prakashananda Saraswati, he actually told that Shankaracharya came and preached Mayavad philosophy because he was actually ordered by the Supreme Lord. So he said that ultimately Krishna is the cause. He only told Shankaracharya to preach the Mayavad philosophy. But at the same time, having told that, then he also told about the defects of Mayavad philosophy. So he did not say, oh, anyway, Krishna is only told him to preach. So why should I actually make an attempt to actually defeat this Mayavad philosophy? He also defeated the Mayavad philosophy. How the Mayavadis, they do not take they interpret the scriptures, they take out the secondary meaning of the scriptures, and they neglect the primary meaning, the literal meaning of the scriptures. So Mahaprabhu also defeated them. Like another example which Maharaj was giving was that, like in Vrindavan, we understand the spiritual world, time is conspicuous by its absence. There is no time in the spiritual world. So Vrindavan is actually non different from the spiritual world. But although Vrindavan is non different from the spiritual world, but Prabhupada was very particular that the devotees actually ring the bell exactly in time. So when they would actually ring the bell little 1 minute before or 1 minute later or something, Prabhupada would actually immediately call the people like, why you did not ring the bell in time? So this understanding is nice that on a practical it is actually the spiritual world and there is no time there. But on a practical level, Prabhupada also implemented that the devotees actually do the duties properly. So there has to be, a sadhu means he understands that Krishna is the cause of all causes, but at the same time he discriminates between right and wrong, and he performs his duties. He performs his duties. Like if you see Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's example, like Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was very particular in actually taking his medicines when he was in his last days. He would actually chastise the nurses when they would not give the medicines in time, or when they would make some mistakes. He was very particular. But at the same time, if you read his book, Dying Before Dying, he actually, we can see how his consciousness, how he was completely dependent on Krishna. So, the same way, Parishit Maharaj understands, he appreciates the words of the Dharma and the cow, that Krishna is the cause of all causes. But that did not deter Parishit Maharaj in punishing Kali. So now he is actually taking up a sword to kill the Adharma. So you can read the 29th verse, translation.
When the personality of Kali understood that the king was very good in him, he at once abandoned the dress he and
So here, Kali thought, when Parikshit Maharaj took up a sword to kill Kali, Parikshit Maharaj was thinking, I am a Kshatriya. If he is a Kshatriya, he will fight with me. So Kali thought, it is not possible for me to fight with Parikshit Maharaj. Kali desired to actually surrender at Parikshit Maharaj's feet. So 30th verse. Patitam padayor vira kripaya dina vatsala sharanyo navadishlokya aha chedam hasan iva. So since a real Kshatriya will never surrender, so the Kali was exposed that he is not a real Kshatriya, he is just a Shudra. So here Prabhupada says in the purport that Parikshit Maharaj, why was he smiling at Kali? Because of two reasons. One reason is that Parikshit Maharaj was smiling because of how Kali was artificially dressed. Kali who had artificially dressed as a king. Now Kali had disclosed his identity by actually surrendering to him. And second reason is that he was thinking how ironic it was that although no one was saved from his sharp sword, when he desired to kill poor lower class Kali was spared by his timely surrender. And although no one was saved from his sharp sword, when he desired to kill poor lower class Kali was spared by his timely surrender. So Parikshit Maharaj is called as Sharanya, that means like one who is worthy of taking shelter. And Shlokya, that means like one who is praiseworthy and one who is compassionate to the poor, Dina Vatsala. So then Parikshit Maharaj spoke to Kali. So from the 31st to 34th verse, Parikshit Maharaj speaks to Kali. Nate guda kesha yashodaranam baddhanjalervai bayamasti kinchit navartitavyam bhavata katanchana kshetre madiye tvamadharma bandhu. So, Parikshit Maharaj says, since you have surrendered unto me, you need not fear me. But although you need not fear me, but there is no place for you in my kingdom. So, one thing of Parikshit Maharaj, that Parikshit Maharaj is lenient with Kali, at the same time is also strict with Kali. He is lenient with Kali because Kali has surrendered to him, so therefore he is not actually killing him. But at the same time he is strict, he is saying that you cannot stay in my kingdom. So sometimes there is a compassionate to an individual person and compassionate to the whole society. So sometimes when we try to be compassionate to an individual person, in being compassionate to an individual person, we might be cruel to a whole society. And sometimes, in being compassionate to a society, we may be cruel to an individual person. So Parikshit Maharaj was compassionate to whole society, at the same time he was also compassionate towards Kali. He was compassionate to the whole society. That is why he told Kali, you cannot stay in my kingdom any longer. That shows that how Parikshit Maharaj did not compromise in his compassion towards the society, towards his citizens. At the same time, Parikshit Maharaj was not cruel to Kali because he said that since you have surrendered unto me, you need not fear me. So it takes actually maturity to how to actually administer compassion to individual person and the society in a way like everyone is taken care of. Like for example, in the case of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict with Kalakrishna, Chota Haridas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very strict with Chota Haridas, because if he had been lenient with Chota Haridas, by that leniency, he would have been cruel to the whole society. So Mahaprabhu was very strict with Chota Haridas. At the same time, he was also compassionate towards Chota Haridas through his devotees, because the other devotees were actually pacifying Chota Haridas. So the other devotees, whatever the devotees were speaking to Chota Haridas, that is also in one sense Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking towards him. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in one sense strict with Chota Haridas. At the same time, he was actually showing mercy to Chota Haridas through his devotees. If he had been externally lenient with Chota Haridas, he would have been actually cruel to the whole society. Because by giving mercy to Chota Haridas externally, it would have been a bad example for the whole society. So he was actually very strict with Chota Haridas externally, but internally through his devotees he was actually lenient with Chota Haridas. So here also we see Kali, Parikshit Maharaj, his maturity is that he was actually, he is lenient with Kali, in the sense he is not going to kill Kali because Kali has surrendered unto him. But at the same time, he is not giving a red carpet welcome to Kali in his kingdom. That would have been he would have been cruel to the whole society. So he is saying that, but you cannot stay in my kingdom at all. So then in the next verse he says, if you become situated in my kingdom, then what will be the, what will happen in my kingdom? So by that, in this verse he tells the faults of Kali. If you enter my kingdom, then what will happen is that, then all sorts of people will follow all sorts of irreligion. They will become greedy, untruthful, they will commit thievery, and they will give up dharma, they will be like a poverty stricken, and there will be quarrel, pride and deceit. So that's what he explains in the 32nd verse. He says, like, if you enter the kingdom, like, what will happen in my kingdom? By talking about the faults of Kali. And then in the 33rd verse he says, there is no place for you in the land of Brahmavarta where people practice dharma and where people perform sacrifices to worship the Supreme Lord. So there is no place for you in Brahmavarta where the Lord is worshipped by performance of sacrifices. So when Parikshit Maharaj speaks this 33rd verse, like Vishnu Chakravarti writes in his dialogue, he says, but then Devata should also be worshipped, not just the Supreme Lord. Then in response, Parikshit Maharaj is speaking the 34th verse. Yasmin Harir Bhagavan Ijyamana Ijyatma Murtir Yajatamsham Tanoti Kaman Amogan Stira Jangamanam Antar Bahir Vayuri Vaisha Atma. So here in this verse, Parikshit Maharaj says, actually, the Supreme Lord is actually the master of all the demigods. You cannot reside where the Lord, who is the soul of all the devatas, Ijyatma Murti. Ijyatma Murti means he is the soul of all the devatas, and who exists inside and outside like the air. Antar Bahir Vayur Iva. He exists inside, antar, and bahir, outside, like the air, Vayur Iva. And being worshipped, he distributes material and spiritual prosperity. Vishnu Chakravarti says that he distributes material and spiritual prosperity. Kaman Amogan. And whom does he distribute? To all the moving and non-moving beings. Sthira Jangamanam. What is useful to all moving and non-moving beings, to the worshipper. So therefore, Parishit Maharaj is essentially what he is telling the 31st to 34th verse is that, since you have surrendered unto me, you need not fear. But there is no place for you to reside in my kingdom. If you reside in my kingdom will be filled with adharma, greed, untruthfulness, dharma, etc. And there is no place for you in the whole land of Brahmavarta, where the Supreme Lord is worshipped by performance of sacrifices. Who is the master of all the demigods? Who resides inside and outside like the air? And who actually awards all material and spiritual prosperity to all the living entities? So Prabhupada writes one important point in the purport, which I want to highlight in the 32nd verse. So this purport is very important. And Prabhupada talks about the principles of religion. So he says, the principles of religion are austerity, mercifulness, cleanliness, and truthfulness. And he says, these principles may be followed by the follower of any faith. Whether Hindu, Muslim, or Christian, it should be followed by follower of any faith. And then he mentions, Bhagavatam religion urges following the principles of religion. And then he says, the principles of religion are not dogmas or religious principles of a certain faith. Sticking to the dogmas and formulas without attaining the real principles is not good. So then the next statement is very important. He says that what is actually a real secular state? A real secular state may be impartial to any particular type of faith, but a real secular state cannot be indifferent to the principles of religion. You may be impartial to all these different religions, but a secular state cannot compromise on the principles of this religion. That means like austerity, cleanliness, mercifulness, and truthfulness. But like secular state cannot actually compromise on like killing of the animals, slaughterhouses, intoxication, and wine and gambling. So these are actually principles of religion which are universal to all types of faith. In Kali Yuga, the heads of the state are indifferent to the principles of religion, so there is no meaning to propaganda crying to stop corruption in the state. So we'll go to the last verses a little past. So 35th verse. So now when Parishit Maharaj speaks these words, so Kali starts trembling, because Parishit Maharaj is having a raised sword as if like Yamaraj is standing in front of him, and Kali starts trembling. So now Kali actually speaks to Parishit Maharaj in two verses, 36th and 37th verse. So Kali says that actually wherever I will go in this earth, because Parishit Maharaj said that you cannot stay in my kingdom. So Kali says actually the whole earth is your kingdom. So wherever I go in the earth, that you will actually come to punish me. Wherever I will live, I will see only you with bow and arrow in your hand. Because the whole world is your kingdom. So that means like there is no place for me to stay. Vishnu Chakravarti was saying in the purport, so Kali is telling to Parishit Maharaj, since that means like I cannot stay anywhere, so therefore you better kill me only. So when Kali is saying this, so Parishit Maharaj says, but I cannot kill you because you have surrendered unto me. So I cannot kill you, because as a Kshatriya, one cannot kill a person who is surrendered. Then Parishit Maharaj is saying this, then Kali tells in the 37th verse, so therefore you are the best among the upholder of dharma. Dharma brutam sreshta. So therefore, you give me a place for me to stay. So Kali is in an intelligent way. He is telling you better kill me only, because there is no place for me to stay. And then knowing that Parishit Maharaj will say that I will not kill you, so he says that now you give me a place for me to stay. So now in the Sudha Goswami speaks the rest of the verses. So then Parishit Maharaj gives four places for Kali to stay. The places for the where the four regulative principles are broken. The 38th verse is explained. So in the purport, Jiva Goswami mentions that when a person drinks wine according to the scriptural injunctions, then it is not considered irreligious. When a person associates with women outside the marriage, Jiva Goswami says, drinking against the scriptures such as Sautramani Yajna or association of women outside the marriage or killing animals against the scriptures, they are considered irreligious. So when a person drinks wine or when a person eats meat according to the scriptural injunctions, then it is not considered irreligious. And then he mentions, the scriptures give these injunctions for people in the mode of ignorance, those who follow Pravritti Marga. So therefore, they are not considered to be adharma. And then Prabhupada says, but such activities are factually adharma and they are never to be encouraged. So scriptures give such injunctions that, okay, you can eat meat maybe on Amavasya night and certain place, etc. So scriptures are giving these injunctions not as a recommendation but as a concession. There is a difference between concession and recommendation. So that is the point which Prabhupada is addressing in the purport. And then Prabhupada gives a detailed point, gives a guidelines, like what are the guidelines for the state to introduce the principles of religion. So he says that there should be at least 2 compulsory fasting days in a month, that is in reference to Ekadashi. It will be good for the economy and it will be good for the health. And he talks about cleanliness. Like there should be compulsory marriage of young boys of 24 and girls of age 26. And there is no harm in co-education provided they are duly married. And abolish divorce completely. And one should preach the principles of Srimad Bhagavatam, karma yoga, chanting, hearing, service to the preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam. All these should be preached, like that he mentions. And then when Parishit Maharaj gave these 4 places, but still Kali was actually not satisfied because he felt, because in your kingdom nobody is breaking these principles, that means there is no place for me to stay. Please give me some other place also so that I can stay. Then Parishit Maharaj gives the 5th place, the place where there is gold. So he says, in that place there will be untruthfulness, intoxication, illicit sex, pride and also enmity. So in this way, Kali, actually following the order of Parishit Maharaj, took up residence in these 5 places given by the son of Uttara. So Prabhupada writes one more thing in the 39th verse purport. He talks about using actually real gold as a currency instead of artificial paper currency. He says that when we use real gold coins, then we can actually, then falsity and prostitution will actually cease. So gold standard currency is based on falsehood because the currency is not on a par with reserved gold. And when people use paper currency, that leads to artificial inflation of currency by the authorities and it encourages prostitution of economy. So he talks about how when we use real gold coins, it will actually, by that falsity and prostitution of currency will actually cease and inflation will reduce. So then Kali was allowed to live in these 5 places. Then the 41st verse, Suta Goswami says that, so therefore he tells that any person who desires one's own benefit, bubushu, and any person, and particularly a religious king, the protector of the people and the teacher, should not indulge in these 5 items. What are the 5 items? He refers to this, the 4 sinful activities, and the 5th is gold. So any person who actually desires one's own benefit, and especially a king who is actually upholder of dharma, should not actually indulge in these 5 items. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Prabhupada, they write in the purport, with respect to gold, sometimes a king may use gold But one should not be actually attached to gold. So one may use the gold, but mainly one should not be attached to gold. Though to some degree, somebody may use gold. And so Prabhupada says that gold can be properly utilized under the guidance of the king, brahmanas and sannyasis. And Parishit Maharaj collected all the illicit gold and used for Sankirtan Yajna. So last three verses we'll recite, 43rd verse. Sayesha yetar adhyasta asanam parthivochitam pitamaheno panyastam rajaranyam vivikshata aste adunasa rajarshi kauravendra shriyolasam gajakvaye mahabhagas chakravarti brihat shava. So in this verse, it is explained that Suta Goswami is saying, Parishit Maharaj is now ruling the world with great success due to his being glorified by the deeds of kings of Kuru dynasty. Actually, the conversation between Suta Goswami and the sages and Navisharanya, it started after the disappearance of Parishit Maharaj. But Suta Goswami is speaking here, Parishit Maharaj is now ruling the world. So Parishit Maharaj has already disappeared. But why is he using the present tense? The present tense is used to indicate the nearest margin of time from the past. So sometimes to indicate an event which happened in the near past, also present tense is used in the Sanskrit language. So Parishit Maharaj has recently disappeared. So because of the effect of the rule of Parishit Maharaj, that effect is still present. So therefore, Suta Goswami is saying Parishit Maharaj is now ruling the world. So present tense is used to indicate the nearest margin of time from the past. For a continuous fact also, present tense can be used. So last verse. Ittam bhutanu bhavo yam abhimanyu suto nripaha yasya palaya takshaunim yuyam satraya dikshita. So here, like yesterday, the point which I mentioned, so Suta Goswami is saying, because of Parishit Maharaj's rule, we are able to perform a sacrifice for 1,000 years. So Prabhupada here talks about how there has to be cooperation between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. And he gives the example of Ashoka. Because Ashoka supported Buddhism, therefore Buddhism was spread all over the world. And then he mentions, because Parishit Maharaj made a favorable condition, sages could perform sacrifice of 1,000 years. And without the state support, no doctrines of philosophy or religious principles can progressively advance. So he talks about the importance of the support of the state. Of course, in the previous purport, Prabhupada says that in the absence of a pious king, pious administrator, then the devotee should actually preach Krishna consciousness to the masses of people. The mass of people. Make them, like, educate them in the principles of religion so that they can actually elect the proper executive head. So I'll stop here. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktavanda ki jai.